Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
How we spent our winter vacation.
And I got a bear of a program for you.
And I finally saw Star Wars, The Last Jedi.
No spoilers. Okay. That shut her up. It's time for iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. We're back. Happy New Year, everybody. It's iOS Today for 2018, our first show of the year, January 2nd. Did you have a nice Christmas and New Year?
I had a lovely holiday, relaxing. I skied. I did not break my nose as I did last year.
Oh, I remember that. That was terrible. You went to Montana.
I went to Montana.
No accidents?
No car accidents, no face accidents, just very relaxing.
And you sent out the strangest Christmas card I've ever seen, literally. Strange Christmas card. You were all dressed as characters from Stranger Things.
Sort of. It was our Halloween costume. It's
very festive.
Yes.
Very Christmassy.
Thank you.
The only problem is one of your sons, and I don't know because they're twins, you can't see him. He's a robot.
Yeah. He was an Enderman.
He's an Enderman.
And he had a box over his head, but it was very dark. And so you could only see his glowing eyes.
Glowing eyes. And I figured, that's either Milo or Huck.
That was Huck. Yes.
Couldn't tell by the eyes.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any New Year's intentions for the year?
Yeah. I'm going to lose a lot of weight. What else? Exercise every day. Half an hour a day.
Half an hour a day.
As Lisa says, break a sweat every day. The usual, right?
Yeah.
I know I'll break them by the end of the month.
I know. That's why I said intentions instead of resolutions.
That's good. Thank you.
Yeah. And we're not going to do any apps for your New Year's intentions.
Normally, this would be the New Year's resolution show. We realized we've made a resolution last year not to do that anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
That's one we're keeping.
Yeah. We're going to look back on our wonderful vacations we just had and talk about the apps that we used.
Yeah. Because, for one thing, I decided not to bring a computer. We went on a little sailing adventure, my son and I, on a catamaran in the Caribbean. And I didn't want to bring a laptop. The iPad Pro with pencil and keyboard, I use the Logitech slim case combo, just was great, was all I needed. We did, surprisingly, given that we were in the British Virgin Islands, which had been devastated by 3 hurricanes in a row, ultimately Maria just flattened it, and they didn't have phone service for a lot of it, and they didn't have electricity for a lot of it, but for some reason, there are 3 carriers down there. One of the carriers was able to get 4G going everywhere. So we were able to get, even in the middle of the ocean, pretty good Wi-Fi, better than on a cruise ship. So I was glad I brought the iPad. I used it to process photos, and I used it to keep track of what was going on. I did a little podcasting with Anchor FM. I should show you. I'll start with that.
Yeah.
This is actually an iPhone app, but I'll show you because it's bigger on the iPad. Anchor FM is a fun little app that lets you use your phone or your iPad. It also works on Android. To record little audio snippets. And then if you wish, at the end of the day, put them and make them a podcast that's compatible with iTunes, Overcast, and Pocket Casts. So that's kind of neat. It's free, anchor.fm. And we can start recording right now. Would you like to?
You want to make a podcast?
Yeah. So if it's on a phone, you hold the phone up to your ear. But you can also just tap that. So here we are recording on Anchor FM on iOS Today. Megan Maroney and I'm just demonstrating the Anchor FM technique to the vast podcast audience.
And where would people be able to find this?
In the App Store, anchor.fm.
But then they have to have the app in order to listen to your podcast?
No. Like I said, it's a normal So here's 2 things happen. So I've made a snippet that we could continue to listen to in the app. If you have the app, anybody could listen to it right now.
So here we are recording.
But at the end of the day, you could take all your snippets and combine them into a podcast. But it has some other nice features. For instance, swipe for background tracks. So I could put some music behind it.
So here we are recording.
Wow. And there's lots of different music.
So you could put this in iTunes or any podcast.
They will do it for you. Yeah, whoops. Oh. Press the wrong button. They will do it for you. Tom Merritt does his daily tech news on this.
Oh.
And then if I go back to my home button, you could see stats of your shows, the most popular podcasts. You can listen to other people's podcasts.
I see you have Mike Hurley from Relay FM.
Yeah, Mike does a lot of people, Chris Marquardt, do informal kind of, this is like, I don't need a whole studio and special mics and everything. I could just do this, myself.
So
right?
If you decide to move to the Caribbean and live on not a boat, but somewhere else, I could just use this app to continue.
Yeah. You can also, and this is kind of cool. I can't, let's see how I do that. So I could take, by the way, the recordings I've made and turn them into podcasts. This is called, the podcast is a silly little, called Leo on the Line. The podcast that listens to you, trademark. Hello. And then I call each podcast a line. So the line 1, 2, 3. I was doing line 9 on my trip. I could take the snippets and turn them into a podcast. Let's see. What else can I do?
That's a little bit creepy, Leo, the podcast that listens to you.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was kind of fun, right? And then you can also take call-ins. So people can, while they're using the app, leave you. You can see I'm a little behind on these. Let's just.
We should listen to some of the messages.
Abe left me a Merry Christmas.
Steve Martinez. I'm calling to wish you a Merry Christmas and hope you have a great vacation holiday.
So I can add that to my podcast. Add entire call-in. Put that in there. That's now on my podcast. So that's why I call it the podcast that listens to you. I can take little... People can leave on Anchor FM, leave comments, questions. What I wanted to do is like take questions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. Then you have music. You can use your Apple Music or Spotify Premium if you want as well. There's also little transitions you could put in. I mean, there aren't a whole lot, so you hear, kind of the same ones, but there's enough.
You can use your Apple Music and put it on your podcast?
Yeah. I don't know how we get away with that.
Yeah. Or is that just listening?
These are fun. I like the transitions.
Yeah. We need more transitions.
Yeah.
Kevin, can you...
So this makes it kind of fun to make a show. You can put little transitions in between the show. Well, I don't know what that is.
Hey, Abe Martinez.
Okay.
I'm calling to wish you a Merry Christmas.
There's Abe again.
Yeah. Anyway, love Anchor. Yeah. So that's Anchor FM. So basically the idea is I can...
So here we are, the first real working day.
And that's Mike Hurley.
That's Mike Hurley. Hello, Mike. And so this is, I think, kind of a more informal, like, let's just, have some random stuff. So when we were sailing around and stuff, I would just record them. It has some weirdnesses. But for instance, when you're not connected to the internet, it's not clear what happens to the stuff you record. It seems to disappear. People have told me, no, it's there somewhere, but I don't know where. The user interface is very weird. As you can see, even after using it for months, I still can't figure out where stuff is. But for a free way, no cost, just to make quick little podcasts and take questions, which is something unique, I think, from other people. Anchor FM, it's called anchor.fm on the internet. And you can get the iOS app for free from the App Store.
Well, I was a little more active on my
You
vacation.
Were, much more than I.
I did ski. You probably know since you got my alerts.
I did. You kept getting the circles and I'm going,
yes,
go
I got
away,
a lot of the circles.
Go away.
So we go skiing every year and the Apple Watch has been lacking in terms of being able to track your skiing. Like it's very
you
good
want credit for
and,
going
yeah,
on the ski
and sometimes slope. Like I knew it was tracking like me on the lifts and all that sort of thing. Like it wasn't ever accurate. It was just sort of a workout for 5 hours and then
right.
That's not accurate. So I downloaded an app called Ski Tracks. It quantifies your skiing. So here it is on the iPad. It's better on your iPhone. I don't know why it said day one. It's a free app, but then I downloaded the paid app, which was only 99 cents. So I think that's why it recorded it.
Yeah, once you paid for it, it said, oh, well, we better start counting.
So it's an Apple Watch app, too. I couldn't figure out how to get that to work for me. So I did have to take my phone off. But it does recognize when you're on the lifts, and it'll just stop. So
what we're looking at is not the interface for the phone. This is a screenshot from your watch.
This is what it looks like on the phone.
It's pretty basic. The, yeah. On the phone.
So yeah. It gives me my max speed. Oh, that's which was neat. Impressive. My ski distance. 12
Do you have
miles.
To have the watch to use this?
Nope, you don't. It's if you have your phone, as long as you bring your phone with you.
Yeah.
It's pretty.
That's really nice. Wait a minute, altitude. You got a new case. You didn't like the case I gave you?
I'm trying all the cases. So you told me that I could buy the, we digress?
No, don't digress. Okay. We'll save that for later.
Okay. You're just going to have to save it for later. Okay. I digress. Thank you for telling me. The slope, how many runs I did. So, it's like, we can get one more run in there.
Nice.
10 runs. One day I did 12 runs, 11 runs.
What?
And duration. And so you stop it if you take a break. But the fact that it knows. And then it also tracks exactly where you went. So here is where I went on the mountain. This is Bridger Bowl, Montana. And I can even, go really close and see exactly. This satellite picture obviously is in the summertime because I wasn't skiing on dirt. I was skiing on snow. But it's pretty interesting because it tells me the latitude,
This is
the
really
longitude.
Nice. For skiers, this is great.
Yeah. And then I can put photos in there. So I took a little photo. I think for some reason I turned on my iPhone is... and you can show what music you were listening to if you were listening to music. And so I really enjoyed ski tracks. And for 99 cents, that's pretty
that's
good.
Boy, if you're a skier, that's a great thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, I'm always, when I go on trips, always looking for ways to kind of keep track of my trips, both before and after, before you get your air travel, your various documents and things you want to have. And then during, I like to kind of keep a diary of it. And I've been trying different things. I'm going to show my AppCap will be the one that, who are the artists? Left Brains? Left Brains will
I think
like?
Left Brains are the creative.
This is one for the right brain people. And it's actually based on a Macintosh app called DevonThink. And this has been around for years. It's really a database app. It's very clunky looking, very engineering looking, but it is a super power tool. And DevonThink has a free companion app. You could actually use it standalone on iOS called DevonThink to go. And I'm first started using it with Drafts. Remember I talked about Drafts right before we left. You can use Drafts to send stuff into the DevonThink inbox, like remind Lisa to order a new cat door. That was sent from Drafts. But you can also use it to keep track of, it's really designed for like scientists and lawyers to keep track of research. But I like keeping track of my travel. Here's my travel database. Now, what's cool about this is I can manage it and create it on my desktop. But I get a copy of it, which I can also manage and create on my iOS device, phone or tablet. And it's encrypted. It can sync with Dropbox or your own server if you have a web dev server, and it's it's AES encryption, so nobody can, even on Dropbox, can read it. And then what's great, I'm gonna show you what I do. So I have year by year. Let's look at this trip I just did, sailing BVI. So there's a couple of things. We have all the I have in here PDFs of all the air stuff, contracts. I have, information from, emails. It imports emails very nicely. So all this stuff is available to me on my iPhone and my iPad. Then what I also do, here's a picture of our skipper, Jelly Bean. You can import pictures. But I also create a diary, which I can edit as we're going. I can edit on my iPad or iPhone so I can add more to it. What I found is that I'm better at making this stuff as it's going, just little short snippets that I can then, when I get home, add to. And then I can put that, mix that together with another program I'll show you in a second that I would use to make an album, like a photo album or whatever. So each day I create an entry for the day that has, I'll show you, we've got one coming up. So I'll show you that how you set it up in the beginning. So in the spring, we're going to Japan. So again, you can have bookmarks to pages. So this is the website of the trip that we're going on. This is the website of the hotel we're going to stay at in Osaka. I have links to weather forecasts. So when we get there, I can quickly see what the weather is going to be in the various places. Of course, we've got our travel documents here. But I also have an overview that I keep, which is and you can embed pictures in it. You can have to-dos in it as well. It'll even flag to-dos, and there's a tagging system so you can quickly get all the undone to-dos, for instance. Or you can look at all the I tag bookings with the word bookings so I can get all the bookings together. And then before we go, I've got the beginnings of the diary. Let me go to the diary here because I know where I'm going to be in each. So, for instance, this diary has the air stuff. I know where we're going to be, phone number for the hotel, various to-dos. And so this is set up before we leave, and then I can enhance it. And it syncs with the iPhone, the iPad, and Dropbox. Has a very robust system so that you're not going to lose anything. But what I really like about it is everything is stored as rich text or text files. So even if you didn't have access to DevonThink, we've seen this problem before with, you know, specialized apps that you keep your stuff in and then the app goes out of business. Even if that happens, you have everything is a clear text readable on your computer. So and so that means you have access to it. It's encrypted when it's stored in the cloud. It will sync. And the free sync is free, by the way, with your iPhone and your iPad. So I have it on all my devices. The only negative is it only works with Apple stuff. No Apple Watch interface, but I don't think that would make a lot of sense. So DevonThink is like, it's hard to describe. It's like an outliner. It's like a to-do list. It's like a diary. It's like a record key. It's like a big file box for everything. And I would look at, they have a variety of programs for the Macintosh. I would look at those in conjunction with using DevonThink to go. But this was a great way for us to keep track of the trip as we're going, because I always forget, you know, where did we go? What did we do? What did we do on Christmas Eve? Well, now I can look back and I can see, oh yeah, Christmas Eve, we went to Anagata and had the lobster dinner and all that stuff. Eventually, as I get, yeah, there's DevonThink. This is an old Mac app. It's been around for a long time, but they keep it up to date, and it's really kind of impressive. You could spend a lot of money on the desktop applications. The top-of-the-line DevonThink Pro Office, I think, is $150, but they have $30 versions and so forth. You can get the personal. And then DevonThink To Go, which is, yeah, that's the heavy-duty one. That does things like you can scan documents into it, and it'll automatically turn the PDF, create a PDF that then gets all the text out of, do optical character recognition, stuff like that. So it has a lot of very fancy features. Lawyers use this. If you were a lawyer and you're trying to keep track of a case, you might want to do that on your desktop. Bring this to the courtroom. You have your iPad. Everything you need is on there. It's that kind of a tool. Very powerful, very right-brained tool. My app cap will be something that's a little more left-brained for people like you. But you could do your bullet journal on here if you wanted.
I'm still into the bullet journal, pen and paper. That's what I do.
I worry because with this, I don't have to worry about losing any particular device because I've always got everything where I need it.
I get it. So speaking of having everything that you need it, I ran out of books on this trip.
I finished all the books.
And so we've talked about Overdrive before on this show. It's a library. Where you can connect right to your library. They have a new app which is much easier to use. It's called Libby.
Libby.
And it's where you can put your library card in there so that I connected to the Sonoma County Library, to the Petaluma branch, even though I was in Montana, and then I can borrow any of these books. So, for example, Wisdom of Sundays. I could read this. I could actually add it to my shelf, and I can put a hold on it. And they have all kinds of books. Like, basically, sometimes you have to put them on hold, but you could also read a sample.
The reason that this is for libraries is you have to have a library card, and it's copy protected, and you can only have it just like a regular library book for a couple of weeks or whatever the current, you know, the library allows. But this way it's free, which is
totally
great.
Free.
All you need is a library card.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, just you can also send it to your...
That looks pretty nice.
Yeah, you can also have it sent to your Kindle, too, if you don't have an iPad.
And it's funny that you should say that, because my Kindle app was the app that I did a lot. And I brought a Kindle with me, but I also use my iPad for my Kindle. I was reading the John Dean book about Watergate. I don't know why I'm going back through the through the years looking at presidential scandals from the past. It's fascinating. but the Kindle is a great choice. And, of course, we shouldn't forget Audible as well. And I spend a lot of time listening to audiobooks. Because, sometimes you can't really read on a boat, but you can listen. And that was great, too. So, yeah, absolutely. Bring books with you. iBooks, wherever you buy your books. I'm a Kindle fan because what I often do with the Kindle is I will send books that I buy from other sources to the Kindle. You know, Kindle, as you know, isn't just for stuff that you buy on the Kindle store, on the Amazon store. Here's a book that I bought from O'Reilly called Programming Rust. Just came out this weekend. Very excited to be reading that. And you can read that perfectly well in your Kindle app. So, and as well as the iBooks app if you already have the iBooks. The Kindle app is free. So
yeah. And you, like I said, you can send these library books to your Kindle app.
Yeah. really nice, I think. It's good to have books but not have to carry them. And, of course, tip of the hat to Texture, one of our advertisers, because that's another thing. You've got the magazines with you, too. I was very impressed. Traveling with the iPad, this is so light and easy and has such good battery life. I'm not sure I'll bring a computer, a laptop with me in the future. I really feel like the iPad did everything I needed it to do. It was really, really useful, even for photography. And, of course, I use Lightroom Mobile. But I should show you the other thing that's important to me, and this will depend on what kind of camera you have. Canon has one. Panasonic has one. But I also use Sony's Play Memories. And Play Memories is an app that lets you connect to your camera. I use a Sony A9, but to a variety of Sony cameras, and copy the photos off of your picture, your camera, into your iPad. So you don't need the camera connection kit anymore. You don't need the physical hardware. Many cameras now have Wi-Fi or Bluetooth built in that allows you to transfer images over. Those images you can then open up into Lightroom or Snapseed, all the different great photo editing, Illumina, a lot of great photo editing apps now on the iPad. So I feel like if you've got a camera, you should look and see if the camera will support this transfer over. And, of course, another great thing I used, our good friend...
Dick DiBartolo?
No, that is our good friend Dick DiBartolo, but our good friend Phil Atkinson, this is a postcard I sent to Dick, makes a great thing called Photo Card. We actually used it to send out our Christmas cards this year, so that just for you, so that I didn't have to get everybody to sign the Christmas cards. We sent them out. It makes beautiful 5x7 laminated cards. And we just sent that out to everybody. And that's a wonderful program. Bill makes the program available for free, but if you want to, and you can email the cards, but if you want to send them through the U.S. mail, obviously you have to buy credits, which you can easily do. It allows, you know, that way, so 30 credits for $25, I think it's 3 credits to mail in the United States. So that way you don't have to, you know, he prints the card and pays the postage. You notice, by the way, you can use a custom stamp. But the indicia on the stamp is all the post office needs. It says, oh, yeah, that's legit. And then it barcodes the address. All our Christmas cards went out this way. And I thought that was a really fun way. And then as I'm traveling, I like to send postcards. So I would take images. Let's add a new image. I would take images from our photo library. Let's say I want to send a picture of our skipper back and say, thank you for the trip. You have as a nice enhance button. You can crop it, you can lighten it or darken it. And then once it's done, it makes a beautiful postcard. And then you could address the postcard. Well, it has a variety of fonts and send it out. And like I said, Bill pays the postage if you buy the credits. So I think this is a really nice one, too. As you travel, don't buy cards. Don't buy postcards. Send postcards. And they're mailed from the United States, so they're going to get there faster than if you're traveling far away. They're going to get there faster.
Well, I don't have a fancy camera, but I do have this front row camera, which is a pretty fancy camera that you can wear around your neck, which I did while I was skiing.
Did you?
Yes.
You really did. So, I want to see some ski pictures.
Okay, so it's a 4K camera. I mostly used it on story mode, which means it takes a picture every 10 seconds, and then it makes a little video. So
These are more interesting than I thought they'd be. Yeah. Look at that. This is you going down the slopes. Yeah.
There we go. and that. I could add music to that.
So it's not a movie, but
stop
motion. Mm. Yeah. It's not loaded onto your...
No, it's not. It's loading on there.
Yeah.
But this is very cool. It's not cheap. It's $400. But I could also, if I wanted to, I could have live streamed my...
And somebody says it looks like, and it is, it's about the size and shape of like a compass.
Yeah.
But it's got a screen on it.
Yeah. So I wore it around my neck. You can also clip it.
Did anybody say anything? Like, what are you doing?
No. And I could have been secretly videotaping them the whole time. No one, I don't know. No one really pays attention to what I'm doing.
No one
cares about what a 44-year-old woman's doing. and so there's what it looks like. And I could add music to this. It was just fun I should have taken more 4K video, but you can also it's really easy to use. You just press one button if you want to take a picture. If there's something you want to take a picture of, you just press the side button. If you want to start a video, you just press it twice. It's super easy to use, much easier than a GoPro, and you can see what you're you're seeing, you know, as opposed to the GoPro, you just have to guess that, I mean, I guess maybe more modern GoPros are better than that. So I don't know what I'm going to ever do with this video, but I have it. You can see me eating lunch, all the texting.
You know, it's great, though. It's more for you, I think, than sharing. I think it's more for you just to remember all the stuff you did. I wish I'd had this. Just because it's a memory jog, mm-hmm. and then you could maybe have other pictures that you use that are better quality, perhaps. But just to remind you, oh, yeah, I forgot we did that. Yeah, yeah. And it's all in sequence, right?
Right.
Do they store it?
It stores on the phone.
Oh, okay.
And then you can download it onto your computer. So this is now downloaded onto my computer.
So how many pictures a day does that end up being?
It was a lot. I mean, it has like a 17-hour battery life. It was pretty amazing. Oh. And it never stopped. It was like -5 degrees and it kept working.
No audio?
Not in the story, but you can do audio in the with the 4K video. It has 4K video, not great audio. But my daughter had the GoPro, and she, you know, as I've told you before, we bought her the Mac earlier this year so she could do video editing. And I really like this. I mean, because
she used iMovie for this?
She used iMovie on her Mac. And
But you could do much the same thing on your iPad or iPhone. iMovie's very capable, even on a mobile device.
And I like this because she's 14, and if she wasn't doing this, she would have just been on Snapchat. And it's like instead of just consuming, she's learning.
It's a little more permanent, too. Yeah. I mean, my son used Snapchat, and it's all going to be pretty much gone.
Yeah.
This way, she's got a memory, which is nice.
Right, and she's working on her editing skills, and, you know, so this, I think, is a little
bit. iMovie will do this kind of automatically. So will Google Photos, by the way. You don't even need iMovie to do this. You can get Google Photos to make a photo. And I like to make albums of our trip. And I think this time I'm probably going to use Google Photos because I can then print a book. And I want to send books to the kids that, you know, as a memory of the trip and all that stuff. But for posting online or sharing online, Microsoft's Sway, and you know I use that.
I was very excited about this.
This is a great video. I'm really enjoying it, actually.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm talking only because people listening at home are only hearing jazz music. They're not seeing all the pictures.
They're not seeing me with the pretty
pebbles. Trying to keep them entertained.
Yes.
But you look just fabulous on those skis. Look at her vadeling. She's vadeling now. That's incredible. I'm making that up. I don't even know what that
vadeling
means.
Vadeling.
Yeah. It's not a ski term. Okay.
No.
I'm just making stuff up so that people listening at home don't think we're just taking a jazzy interlude.
It's Khalid. It's not jazz. Maybe it is jazz. I don't know. What is jazz?
Is that DJ Khalid?
No, that's different. It's Khalid, I think, not DJ Khalid, who was excellent in Pitch Perfect 3, by the way.
Is he in it?
Last night, nice. Yes.
I was wondering what his talent was, so that's good. Yeah. I look forward to seeing that.
Highball. This is from Studio Neat.
Highball?
Highball. I use this maybe perhaps a little bit too
often.
Oh,
it's a drink recipe.
You know, at Studio Neat, they make all kinds of iPhone stands and such.
Oh.
And they have this app that it just has a few.
Apparently, they're heavy drinkers there. It's beautiful, fancy, though. Isn't it pretty?
Yeah. They also make like an ice, you know, where you can, I don't know, an ice maker, like a fancy ice maker.
Yeah.
So that's why they have this app. But you can change it. You can share it. Like, I think that maybe you need to have a Tom Collins sometime so I could send it an iMessage. It's better on the iPhone. Or I could add to it. I can add my own recipes, create a new drink. I'll import. I had a drink that I made on New Year's Eve. Let's find that. Whoa, I take a lot of selfies with, where are my, these appear to be only my selfies. I'll add this drink, the Starbucks.
Add a drink.
And yeah, so Highball, it's free. And I highly recommend.
How did you keep track of your kids?
I didn't.
I was thinking you could do Find My Friends, the iPhone Find My Friends, but some kids have Android phones. Mm-hmm. There is a cross-platform solution I think is very good. It's called Google's Trusted Contacts. Do you know about that?
Oh, yes. I've heard of this.
Yeah.
It's on the iPhone, even though it's from Google.
It's on the iPhone. It's on Android. It works even on any device that has GPS. And what it'll do is it'll stay connected and give you a map. So if you can't figure out where the kids are, you could say, let's look at them on the map. You can ask for a location. I've got it set up with Lisa, who hasn't gone anywhere apparently. But if I were, like, if I say I fell overboard, I would say send a location alert right now, and it would notify Lisa he's somewhere in the middle of the Caribbean. See, that'd be great. Ask for Lisa's location. I share all the time. Apparently, nobody else wants to share with me, though, because Abby won't share with me. So we're just going to add Megan. And what it does is it'll send a invite to you. So obviously, both parties have to agree to this, and then you stay connected. You can choose in the settings how often it will ask for a location. And you have to turn on location history and location sharing. But I think that's a really nice way to, if you're going on a family vacation, at least as you're going out the door, tell everybody, they all have to have phones, obviously, but tell everybody, okay, install trusted contacts, and we're going to make sure we all add each other to trusted contacts so that if we do get, somebody gets lost or somebody needs help or somebody says, hey, I'm over here, they can use trusted contacts to do that. I think, you know, as the kids get, you're not going to use it with a five-year-old, but as the kids get to be teenagers, this is actually a really handy thing to do. And then just don't mention it again. And when they get back from the vacation, maybe they'll forget to turn it off.
Okay,
then,
so I got here's the email. You've added me as a trusted contact, and then I can request your location.
Exactly.
Interesting.
There are other programs that do this. They're even paid. We've talked about before programs for families that do this. There maybe you have more features. This is free. Comes from Google, iOS, and Android. Trusted contacts.
Well, on Thursday on Tech News Weekly, we're going to be interviewing a woman who just came up with a device. She has a health background, and she came up with a device called Monkey because she did lose her two-year-old at an amusement park. And so this is like a simple device. And because she has a healthcare background, it's coming at it in a different angle.
And there are, for serious people, there's spot trackers. Like if you're skiing, you probably should be carrying a spot tracker if you're hiking in the wilderness, things like that.
Yeah. Well, my kids, for Christmas, my mother-in-law gave my boys radios that also function as ham radios and their walkie-talkies.
Oh, nice.
So they're pretty excited. You got to tell me how they want to get their ham radio license.
Oh, we can help them do that.
Yeah, so
we have a little show all about that called Ham Nation with Bob Heil and Gordo. In fact, Gordo has some really great study materials. I would give you mine, but they're a couple of years old.
Okay.
That they need to use that handy talkie is the technician license, the basic license. And that would be a great idea. In fact, what a great way to get your kids kind of into some of this stuff. Ham Nation is on our network every Wednesday, but you know, you can subscribe, of course. And they talk a lot about this. And Gordon West, who is one of the hosts, does really great study guides that I highly recommend. He has both books. Kids might prefer the tapes. There's not much to learn. It's pretty straightforward.
Do you think they could learn online? Like tapes sounds kind of old-fashioned.
Tapes. Well, I don't know if they're like actual tapes. I think you can put them on your iPhone. They're audio versions.
I want to keep
them
excited
about this. I think they do have
cassettes. If I tell them tapes, they'll
They may not.
What is a tape?
They may not enjoy the audio versions that much. Yeah, you can learn it online too.
Yeah, so they're pretty excited, and
it's a good thing. I'll help them if they want. We can do a test quiz.
Yeah. So they think they can talk to airplanes. That's not true, right?
No, you don't. Airplanes are busy.
Okay.
You don't want to talk. You could talk to airplanes.
Can they listen in?
Depends on the radio. Sure, they probably can. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You don't want to talk back, though, because they're busy.
That's what I was trying to convince them.
Flying the plane.
Well, you know them. They think everyone constantly needs them to give their advice.
Yeah. Turn left. You're going the wrong way. I think that's a very good idea.
John says they can talk to the space station.
You can. You can also bounce signals off the moon, but that's another day, another story.
Okay.
Another day.
Well, the
but
best
yeah, you can thing, talk to the ISS. Yeah.
The best thing about these walkie-talkies slash ham radios is they came with earpieces, so you don't have to hear them constantly. And now they're just like they're back in the womb together, like constantly talking wherever they
that's
are.
That's nice. Like, that's like out of Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cute.
Yeah. So I did not buy a house over my Christmas vacation, but if I were to have bought a house, I most definitely would have used Rocket Mortgage.
Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. It's a new year. Maybe the time has come for you to buy a new home, or maybe even more time in a more timely way, refinance your existing home before interest rates go up. And they will go up this year. The Fed has already said now's the time to do it. And the way to do it with Quicken Loans, the most trusted lender in the country. They're a wonderful. Is that Bigfoot waltzing out in the? I don't. Fun to go to their website because you just don't know what you're going to see. RocketMortgage.com/iOS today. Quicken Loans is the lender. They're number one in customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power, year after year for mortgage approval and mortgage servicing. They're really great. And they made Rocket Mortgage for us, for the geeks, something you can do entirely online. You know, I don't know if you've ever bought a house. If you have, you know what the process is. I know you have. You go somewhere. You go to a bank. You have to put on pants. You have to dress up. In fact, you should dress up nice. Look like you're, you know, a credit-worthy person. They pull your credit report. They go through, you know, they have a sheaf of papers with all the loans they offer you. They ask you, well, what do you, you know, what are you thinking? And you go, I just want to buy a house. Yeah, but what's your down payment? What's your interest rate? You have this whole big conversation. He pulls out his mortgage calculator, runs through, says, here's what shows you the screen of the mortgage calculator. I don't know if they do this last time you bought a house. They show you the screen and they say, that's what your payment would be. And then you go home, but it's not over, because you think, oh, well, I've applied. No. Now you have to go to the attic and find your old pay stubs. You have to call your bank and get your old bank statements. You have to get all this paperwork and send it to them, often fax it to them. Do you have a fax machine at home? No, you don't. Of course you don't. This is nuts. This is the 21st century. So Quicken Loans came up with Rocket Mortgage. Everything I just described you can do on your phone, on your computer, on your tablet, and you can do it without putting on pants, without even going out of the house. Or you could do it, maybe you're at an open house, you're looking at a house, you say, we should buy this house. You could find out what you're good for right now if you wanted to refinance. You just go to rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. And it all takes minutes. You don't even need to get paperwork or anything. You just, you basically give them some information you know in your head, like your social and stuff like that. They say, okay, we found your bank. Is this your bank? Yeah. Is this your account? Yeah. Give us permission to access it. Yeah. Because they have trusted partnerships with all the financial institutions. They've been around. Quicken Loans, it's like the best. So they know everybody. So they just say, okay. They get the information. They crunch the numbers. And literally in minutes, they will get back to you and say, yeah, you're approved. Like, you get a big green button on the phone that says approved. Download the approval letter. You can give it to your realtor or just show the realtor at the open house. It's that fast. Completely amazing. I mean, you can mortgage. You understand every point of it. It's a simple application. You understand exactly what's going on. And now you're going to mortgage with confidence. Rocket Mortgage. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states and MLSconsumeraccess.org. Number 3030. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. You can go there now and set up the account just so that you'll be ready. If you know you're going to be looking at a house, won't take any time. Or bookmark it. rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. I know you're going to, I know what's going to happen. I know, because I hear it all the time. What was that Leo was talking about? You know, you're somewhere and you say, oh, we want to buy the house. You won't remember. So bookmark rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. We thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for making iOS today possible and for saving a lot of people a lot of money and time. Really great. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently with Rocket Mortgage.
Okay, so last week we talked about the
cases.
The new iPhone case, the new iPhone
this
folio
is Apple's
case. This from Apple. So that was $100. You told me we should just get it. But then I found a cheap knockoff for $35. So
is it
you know
as good
me,
as Apple's?
No, of course not. But it does, you know, it's got some.
But you didn't get Apple's?
No, not yet. Okay. Maybe. Maybe I will. I just thought, well, why pay $100? I don't know. It's from China. Do you think it's real leather?
No. It's probably that PU leather.
Yeah, polyurethane.
You know it's leather when it smells like... It's like that's see, smell the... Okay, so this is my case. By the way, I took this cruising, and you still have sand from the Virgin Islands stuck in the case.
I like how
but
you call it cruising.
I wanted to protect it. Now, you smelled your case? Now, smell my case.
Oh, yeah, that smells like a cow.
Yeah, dead cow. Dead plastic.
Like nothing. It smells like nothing. But
now, some people will prefer that. They call that vegan leather, right?
Yeah.
Some people will prefer that. It probably wears better. You can see what I like about leather is how it wears, which looks like it's been through the mill, which it has. But some people don't say, well, that's crappy looking.
Yeah, so I'm guessing Apple's real one, I'll compare it. I'm guessing Apple's real one doesn't like open up like that.
Yeah,
it closes
I'm
all the
sure
way, but it does close.
Right.
It does turn it off when it's closed, and none of the other ones.
So you're
going to
do
me
a whole rundown of cases
on the screensavers.
Thursday.
On
screensavers?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
It'll I'm finding 10 of them. 10 for the 10. But
this isn't bad.
It fits
some
credit cards. It fits money. Maybe I stretched it out a little bit. But, you know, if you want to pay $35 instead of $100, it has the Apple logo and everything. And someone in China is happy to have my $35, I'm guessing.
Yeah. I mean, this, even this, which is real leather, was like $40. This is the Davis case that we were talking about earlier. So I know Apple charges so much, but this had my wallet. This had, so this is all I would bring ashore. You know, I had my credit cards, had my ID and all that stuff. I took the phone out so that I can show you stuff with the phone. But I did want something that would cover the front of the phone, right? Because I felt like I might drop it in something. And so I think I like this better than maybe an OtterBox. By the way, you want to know how much money there is in iPhone cases?
A lot, I'm guessing.
The folks who own, the couple that owns OtterBox, they own an island in the British Virgin. They own it. We're sailing by it. The captain goes, oh, yeah, that's the OtterBox island. Little Thatch Island. They own it. The whole island. So there's money in cases.
There's money in cases.
There's money in them, their cases. You sell $5 of plastic for $99. You too can buy an island in the Virgin Islands.
Well, I'll have to find the link from the Chinese knockoff link that I got this from.
But I think that if you look for cases, that's the truth, is you're going to see a lot of knockoffs.
Yeah.
You're going to see some pricey brand name cases like OtterBox, like Apple.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe look at some of the cheap ones. I ended up buying probably a dozen wallet cases trying to find the right wallet case. Some with real leather, PU leather. I ended up using this. You know why I like the rubber band?
Mm-hmm.
So that goes around the top of the case. So even if I have cards in here, they can't fall out. This was great. I could put this in my swim trunks.
I liked that one, but the one that where the case pops out, that one I like.
Yeah, this
better.
One, the case doesn't pop out.
Yeah.
But it does do the easel thing, so you're on the plane, you can watch the...
that's
nice. But see, I had an iPad, so... By the way, we didn't mention all the entertainment options you have if you travel with an iPad, including Netflix. Although Netflix is savvy. They checked where I was, and they wouldn't let me play some content, saying this content is not available in the country you're in. So be aware of that. The content restrictions aren't for where you come from, therefore where you are.
The other problem we had with Netflix is, you know, we drive to Montana from San Francisco.
Right.
It's 10 hours the first day, 7 hours the second day, and then we've got to go back. So we were planning to download a bunch of stuff from Netflix
watch. Yeah.
But then our plan only allows you 2 or 3 devices or something.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
We had, like, all my kids had it on their phones.
They can't all do it.
And it's really hard to get that off. Like, you have to delete the Netflix. It's not easy to just say deactivate this account or whatever.
You have to go farther.
That was the problem, because we wanted to play the Netflix on the iPads, not the iPhones.
See, I don't really blame Netflix. A lot of this copy protection stuff bites you is not their fault. It's just this is what the movie companies insist on. But if you see, you know, I have a My Download section. This is all the stuff I had downloaded. But you'll notice stuff also expires. So I have a little exclamation mark there. And what does it say here? Renew, right? So after a period of time, I think a month, it expires, but you can then go online and renew it without re-downloading it. So a few things I'll have to renew. I think they expired December 27th, a bunch of stuff expired.
So if you take a look at, here's what happened when my poor daughter wanted to download this Riverdale Gossip Girl in 90210, and we got this alert, which says you have downloads on too many devices. Lose downloads. And we couldn't figure out which device it was. So this was the best iPad that we have. This is the one for watching. Like, the others are old, or the iPhone, but then we couldn't figure out how to
downloading Netflix, though. Not everything is available. Notice, though, the new Black Mirror is, which just came out, the new season of Black Mirror. So I'm going to put that on my iPad. It's nice to have something to watch on your iPad, downloading right there.
Yeah. The other, Amazon Prime, you can download a lot from that. We did that, too, but that takes forever. It's much faster to buy things.
I put some Amazon Prime movies on there as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah,
much better than the movies on the airplane, and I think better quality too. If you got your iPad on the tray table in front of you, it's going to look better. iPad is the ideal travel. I swear. I mean,
this really is
made for traveling.
So we, believe it or not, have not had a chance to talk about the Apple battery issue. It happened right after recorded our last episode.
That's right.
So we should probably talk about it. I'm sure everyone's heard about it.
You know, I'm going to ask Renee Ritchie in just a little bit on MacBreak Weekly what he thinks about it. But just in summary. It first was noticed on Reddit that Apple products, older Apple products, seemed to slow down when you upgraded the operating system. And people actually did measurements and said, yeah, it is, in fact, slower with a new operating system. I've heard people complain about this for years. Apple admitted it. They said, well, we do that because if you have an older battery, what happens with these older lithium-ion batteries? This is all according to Apple. I haven't verified this independently. is, you know, our phones, like most modern devices, will the CPU will ramp up to do more tasks. So at times you're doing something that really is demanding a lot of the processor. The processor will speed up, and that makes more heat and draws more power. And the older lithium-ion batteries can't handle these spikes. And what we were finding, says Apple, is these older phones, the iPhone 6, the 6S, the iPhone SE, would crash. So what we did artificially in the operating system is we made sure that there weren't these performance spikes, that the processor didn't go whoop, because we were afraid of a crash. We capped it. But in effect, that means on the most demanding tasks, your processor wouldn't keep up and your phone would feel slower, wouldn't crash, but feel slower. Number of people pointed out no other manufacturer, HTC, LG, Samsung, all stepped forward and said, we don't do that. We don't think you need to do that. Now, other people have pointed out, yeah, those phones crash. But I don't know if that's the case. There's a debate, and I don't know enough about the merits of it. I want to ask Rene Ritchie. I'm sure he's really researched it. Upshot is good news. Apple did admit it and has said, but we will give you now a replacement battery for a very low cost, $29. So in a way, this is really good news. If you have an older iPhone, an iPhone 6, which is, what, several years old, your lithium-ion battery is definitely, you know, depleted. It's not able to charge up as much. Put a new battery in. It'll be a lease, new lease on life.
So when they say they're going to give you a new battery, do you just go to the Apple Store and they hand it over?
No, they have to take your phone apart.
They do it for you.
It was $79. They open up the phone, put a new battery. You really can't do that yourself. They have special machines in the back to do that. But now at $29, I don't really think there's any reason not to do that. What's unclear, however, is if iOS is smart enough to say, oh, you got a new battery, I won't slow you down. So there's some questions that have come up for me. And I, you know, as you said, this happened while we were all on vacation. Something to be aware of. If you have an older iPhone, I know most of you, many of you do. Very few people do what we do, which is buy the new phone every year. Mm-hmm. And there's always been this speculation that this is what companies do to get you to buy a new phone. They slow down the old phone. Well, now Apple's basically admitting it. They're saying, but there's a good technical reason for it. I believe that.
They apologize.
Yeah, but they're doing it. They apologized probably not for explaining it. You know, they got caught.
They apologized for their communication of it.
They still said, no, but we're going to keep doing it. We should do it. And I can think they make a good case for it. I don't understand why other manufacturers don't do it. So Scooter X in our chat room says, yes, the phone restores to original speed when a new battery is installed, which would tell me that they have put in iOS... and this is an easy thing to find out. In fact, you can get third-party apps that will check the battery and say, yeah, this battery is, you know, depleted or so forth. I don't know if you can on iOS, but you can on a Mac and you can on other phones.
So iFixit, who's one of our sponsors, it also often comes on the guest.
They
offer a $29 kit.
Yeah. So you could do it yourself. Apple do it. Have Apple do it.
You don't think you should get the kit?
No. Okay. Well, Apple's doing it for $29. Why wouldn't you have Apple do it?
Right, because it's the same price, plus you have to do it. I don't know. I mean, you do it to learn. You do it because we should be able to.
What you're going
to
learn is don't ever try this yourself at home. It's just a hard thing to do. But if you want, I mean, certainly I love it that they tell you how to do it. And in the days when it was $79, then maybe you wanted to save that $50. Yeah. But I think now at $29, bring it to the Apple Store.
I'm
glad to hear that Apple will in their iOS will say, oh, new battery, good. Let the good times roll.
So you will remember in our episode that we showed last week that we recorded about a month ago about setting up your new devices. We had some issues getting our messages onto our new phones.
Yes. I still have that issue. I'm going to set up a new Mac a little later on, and it will start with a blank slate in messages, even though we know all those messages are still on the Apple servers.
Right. So the problem we had was starting a blank slate.
Yeah. Installing, when you get a new iPhone, you want all the old messages to show up on there.
Right. And so when I get a new iPhone or a new iPad, I do tabula rasa. And so
which means
I
blank slate.
I wanted to
blank slate.
But why wouldn't I make myself look silly when I can't pronounce
tabula
rasa?
Okay.
I I like a blank slate. So then I wasn't getting my messages that way. But then we had sort of conflated that, or I had in my mind, to thinking like there was no way once you, if you backed up to iTunes or you backed up to iCloud, that your messages wouldn't come over either. But I did a little test because everyone was like, how come you couldn't get your messages? And they come over.
They are backed up.
They're backed up on iCloud, okay. And they all came over. Everything was fine. I did the test. I did it for you people. So either backing up to iCloud or backing up to iTunes, you can get your messages as long as you want everything else, all your apps and all that rest of the garbage that comes along, which I do not. So I'm still trying to figure out how to get just my messages and not my apps. Messages. I want a brand new phone, but I want my messages to come over. And that I have not figured out.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, some people got kind of angry at us for not knowing this. And iCloud is complicated. I spent maybe like 3 hours trying to figure out over the, this was another way I spent my winter vacation. Marco has all of this music that he's downloaded and ripped from CDs, and he wants it off of his computer because his computer doesn't have enough space for it, but his iPhone does have enough space for it. And getting stuff from the computer to the iPhone was incredibly complicated, especially because we subscribe to Apple Music. So there's I said to him, well, you can get whatever music you want. And he's like, but I have it all in playlists and I want that to come up.
Yeah. I want, you know, it's funny. I was trying to do the same thing for my trip, and I could have sworn in the past I've been able to see all the playlists that were available to me and then just download, like I could say, download the entire playlist. And I did that with classical music, but I have other playlists it doesn't see. So what you can do, of course, is go by artists. And let's say you want the entire AC/DC Back in Black album. You'll see, and you can just download that. But you have to go album by album.
That is one of his albums.
Yeah. Is it really?
Yes.
He's all into Hell's Bells.
That
was quick, though. You can see how quick. And now when I go to, in my library, downloaded music, I can see that AC/DC is in there with all the classical music. I was looking forward to listening to all my music, and I realized only had classical music downloaded on my... I have some other music. No, you haven't downloaded any music. Mm-hmm. To download music, press and hold on a song, album, or playlist and tap download. I don't know why my playlists haven't propagated over, but I'll have to figure that out.
I'm telling you, it's really... It's not complicated on purpose, but there's just, like, iTunes...
Mysteries.
Yeah, iTunes mysteries. Is kind of a mess.
And all I had to go on the messages thing was what my experience had been, which is when I restored, I didn't get my messages.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
Keith recommended...
Metallica. Oh, I got to get my Metallica.
Yeah, get your Metallica while I tell you about... Keith recommended an app called the Good Sam app, which is a community, Good Samaritan. It's a community of lifesavers. And I thought this was really interesting. If you are a first responder, if you are some kind of, you know, emergency, if you have emergency training, you can download this app. And then if someone needs you nearby, you can automatically be notified. So like if someone is having a heart attack or someone, you know, we had that first aid training here. And I think, do we have one of those boxes?
We never got that. I decided not to have a heart attack.
Okay, good. Good. Yeah. So if you are trained in first aid, download this app if you're willing to help out, because sometimes you might be the closest person to someone having an accident. So thank you, Keith,
for recommending
that.
You're so nice.
And next we have, I wanted to create a new segment called The Parenting Corner. Are you ready?
I am ready.
No, this is not funny, but parenting is
hard.
It's hard.
It
is not for the weak.
Very hard.
And we've had a lot of discussions about YouTube over the last few months. And I have sometimes days said, YouTube off all the devices. No YouTube. I'm going to blank it out. And as we said over the Christmas break.
You said that to your kids?
I've said it. I've just shouted it and then not followed through. Okay. That's my style.
That's it for you, children.
Yeah. My kids like Logan. Well, one of my boys likes Logan Paul. And he is a YouTuber. And did you hear what he did over the weekend? So I don't want to talk too much about it.
I could see why you wouldn't want your kid to see Logan Paul.
Yeah. So he went to Japan. He went to...
We don't need to say what he did. It was a bad thing.
It was horrible. And they ended up seeing it was...
Your kids saw it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So I saw this. I saw, okay, why is Logan Paul...
in the news.
Trending on Twitter. And I looked down. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have one of those. It was... the worst. So I talked to my kids about it. Well, did you watch this video? They were like, yes, we did. And it's just, it's so hard to I just, that's what all I wanted to say. It's hard to keep track of what
You're
your kids are watching.
You're scaring Patrick Delahanty.
he's about to have a kid.
He's about to have a child.
Well.
And, one of our great staff members, he's our programmer, our engineer here. And he and Seth, his wife, are due. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, wait, no one told me that was hard? What? He'll
it's
be
hard.
A great
It's
dad.
Actually easy when they're babies.
Yeah.
Oh, I've forgotten hard. If it's
Teenagers
hard.
Teenagers so. Are hard. But, it's hard for other reasons. You don't get much sleep when they're babies.
Right. So I guess my issue is just kind of talk to your kids every once in a while about what they're watching. And if you see something, even though it is like was not fun to have that conversation. And but it's important to talk about them.
I'm glad there was no YouTube when Henry and Abby were little.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad there was no YouTube when I was in college because those videos, you would not want to, not me seeing me, someone then dredging up those videos of my college days.
Well, are there videos of your college days?
I mean, there are, but they're like on Super 8 tape somewhere.
Oh, they exist, but they're not digitized.
Yeah, they're not on YouTube.
We can get them digitized. Let's get them on YouTube.
Yeah.
Let's have the new Megan's College Days channel on YouTube. It'll beat Logan Paul, I guarantee you.
It's just YouTube is, you have to be your own. You have to be a parent. You can't.
I don't, you know, I'm just so torn. I don't know what the answer is. I think almost you kind of, it's a new era, and so kids see stuff now that we would have been horrified to see. But remember, during Vietnam, we saw the war on TV, which no one had ever seen before. Yeah. That was our generation. I mean, not yours, but my generation grew up to that. And that was pretty horrific. But, well, we didn't end up too good either, did we? Never mind.
Well,
forget it.
I think the important thing is they kids need to talk. They need someone to talk to about it. Like, you can't just see something like that and then think it's okay. And you know, they've also seen that he's apologized and blah, blah, blah. And he was trying to, raise awareness for suicide.
That's what they all do on YouTube. They do terrible things. Then they apologize later.
Right. And I think the important thing is to say, at the heart of it, he was doing this to get money
Well, and ultimately this is why this is going to be a problem. There's a lot of great stuff on YouTube. We're on YouTube. There's a lot of normal great stuff on YouTube, but what the YouTube superstars, the ones who make a lot of money, have realized, and I noticed this with Henry and his friend while we were on this trip, the videos they watch are the most extreme. Mm-hmm. They were watching videos of people eating really hot peppers, and they thought this was the greatest thing ever. The problem is, and this is, we all know this in media. We've known it for years, that you can't sit still if you're doing something that you always have to up the ante. And so these YouTube superstars like PewDiePie, like Logan Paul, in order to continue to get attention, have to take it to the next level. Pretty soon, what seemed extreme is what everybody's doing. It's tame. So you got to do the next thing and the next thing. And frankly, that's not going to stop. So it's going to get worse and worse. It's going to get more and more extreme. And that's just kind of in the nature. It's like link bait. It's the nature, I think, of what's going on with media today. We've seen it happen even in mainstream media. But mainstream media at least has some. But they're run by big corporations that don't want to, you know, their reputations to drag through the mud. They have some restraint, a little bit, maybe not a lot. They have a little bit of restraint. And, of course, there's a lot of shock when they take that extra step. And then there's a lot of ratings and then everybody else. But it happens faster in YouTube where there's nobody. Now, no, who's telling Logan Paul, don't do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, everyone is now, I think.
Yeah, but all that tells Logan, the only signal Logan Paul hears, it worked. I got attention. I got more views. That's the signal he's paying attention to. He doesn't care if he gets vituperation on Twitter, or as we call it, vituperation. We don't call it that. I just made that up.
I like that.
he doesn't care. That's good. That's engagement. So that means we're going to see worse and worse stuff from Logan Paul. We're not going to see. He's not going to clean up his act. Why would he?
Or another Logan Paul.
Or somebody like that. YouTube's the only organization that can do anything about it. And they did something. Remember, they did something to PewDiePie when he was doing racist videos. They pulled him off of their, you know, premier VIP advertising platform. And apparently he only made $15 million last year. Oh, poor boy.
But yeah, I mean, my kid said, well, he's not getting those aren't monetized. He's not getting money. But I you have to say, like, but
he's getting monetized
on that particular video. But I mean, you have to have the conversation of like, but that is getting him attention on his other videos.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's just like it's things that our parents never had to deal with. And it's things you didn't have to deal with, like you said, like it's just changing so fast.
But we live in this world. This is the extreme world. We see stuff on mainstream television today that would have been shocking for me to see as a kid. So don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, but I think that what you said is sort of depressing. Like it's just getting worse.
Yep.
There's no answer.
Yep. That's because I'm an old man. Get off my lawn, you YouTubers.
All right. Well, hopefully someone will sponsor this Parenting Corner because it was so uplifting.
It's not uplifting. You said the right thing, which is parents have to be aware of it and pay attention and talk to their kids. There's no alternative, though. I guess you could get rid of computing in the house or cut off the internet, but
no, and you can't get rid of YouTube.
You don't want to block YouTube. That's their whole culture.
Right.
When they go to school, that's what they talk about. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be your kid to be the weird kid who says, "Yeah, well, I like to do dominoes when I'm home." You don't want your kid to be that
it's
kid.
It's okay to be the weird kid.
I was that kid.
It's okay to be the weird kid.
Have I told you about my hobby of carving chess pieces lately?
All right. Bev wanted to know about my keyboard, the red keyboard attached.
It's very pretty.
Magazine.
Very pretty.
It's Colorware and
rightly named. They do everything.
Question.
They'll do iPad, AirPods, everything.
They do Xbox controllers. Yeah. And so here
it's
it
expensive.
Is.
Expensive.
And yeah, this one is $199. Yeah. So
it's like twice as much as an Apple keyboard.
But it's very shiny, and the paint is. Yeah. I mean, you could paint it yourself, I guess, but I don't think you'd get the same results as you get from Colorware. And now I think it's probably time for us to wear some hats.
Funny hat time. I should have brought a hat back from the Caribbean.
You should have.
No, this is what I was wearing.
Oh, I should. I'm going to bring a hat next week that I
fishing cap
got. Too. So yeah, now we're gone fishing.
Gone fishing. Our app caps, we put them on in a way to honor the applications of the week. Megan Maroney will commence.
I will commence. I have to lift my hat up a little bit, otherwise I can't see. Okay, I finally saw The Last Jedi. Thank goodness. I'm not going to give any spoilers away, except for
you liked it a lot.
I loved it.
On a scale of 1 to 100, how many Rotten Tomatoes do you give it?
Are Rotten Tomatoes good or bad?
100 is good.
100.
Ah!
No, I guess I would say Force Awakens, Rogue One, Last Jedi. Like, I liked Rogue One better.
The third best.
It was the third best. Yeah,
of the
in
new
the third
Star
in
Wars
order.
Movies.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe I had low expectations because I knew people weren't really liking it.
Well, you know, that's why I mentioned Rotten Tomatoes, because I think it got 93% with the critics. 93% with the critics is very, very good. And it's something like 55% with the audience, which is very unusual. It's much more common. The audiences will prefer, especially a fan driven movie like that, prefer it more than the critics did. It was quite the opposite. There it is. Oh, the numbers are even going down. 91% critics, 50% with the fans.
Well,
I didn't like the first half. I loved the second half. Oh my God, you got bobbleheads.
So here's what I love the most about this movie. This is Rose.
I love Rose.
She was my favorite character.
I love Rose.
And
she was great.
I didn't love, like, her storyline was not my favorite, but I did love her. And
well, that's Kevin and I were talking about that. Poor Rose and Finn kind of got shoved aside a little bit.
Sorry.
But she's agreeing vehemently with
and
you.
There's
is that
Ray.
Ren?
That's Ray.
Ray, I mean, yeah.
This, of course, is the princess of all princesses. And
you should go see the film, if only because it's Carrie Fisher's last performance.
Yeah.
It's worth seeing it for that.
And then this is Jyn Erso from Rogue One. May she rest in peace.
Who? Oh, that's right. Shh. Nothing happened to her. Just the bobblehead. The head came off.
Oh, my gosh. You can't do Rogue One. Rogue One spoilers? If you haven't seen Rogue One.
It's on Netflix, for crying out. I think by the time a movie's on Netflix, you can spoil it.
I think so.
We'll give it 1 month on Netflix, and then we can spoil it. Because by then, if you haven't seen it, it's because you don't want to see it.
Right. Exactly. So the Star Wars app. The Star Wars app, which thank you, Patrick Delahanty, for pointing out.
This is
out.
The
Star
it's
Wars app.
The official because, yes. Star Wars app.
So the soundboard I love. Here are my favorites.
Fun.
This was one of my favorite lines.
Let the past die. Kill it.
Wow.
Let the past die.
Burn it all down.
Does it have my favorite one? I want to put my fist through this great, big, beautiful city.
I don't think it does.
No.
Who says that?
That was Rose's line.
Oh, no. I don't think She does say that.
I thought it was kind of not a great line when I heard it, but it's memorable.
I feel like sometimes when I'm just feeling really frustrated, like I want to burn it all down. And so like that's that. I like that a lot. So
this is how liberty dies.
It even has the Padme and
I need someone to show me my place in all this.
I do. Who's this? Padme?
No, that's Ray.
That's Ray. All
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm. So we have
the
a
force
soundboard.
Is strong in this one.
We have.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
That's not even soundboard. That's live Leo Laporte. I thought BB9E was going to have a bigger.
I could
part.
Do Kelly Marie Tran. I want to put my fist through this beautiful city. What? You don't like it?
I don't think. That
I like these little, what are these? These are little South Park
emoji.
Icons.
Yeah, so you can then copy those and put them right in a text message.
Oh, but it doesn't have a messages version of it?
You mean you can download those in messages, yes.
But I mean, it doesn't like, oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I guess I haven't.
I
own it
now. I
probably
bought some Star Wars stickers, too.
Are there Star Wars stickers?
Of course there are Star Wars stickers. I know I bought some, but I don't know if they've downloaded on here. So... I just love everything about this. There's gifts in different emotions. So if I want to, I don't know if this is really embarrassed. I don't think she's embarrassed in that. Do you? She's just frustrated. This is me.
No.
This is me like no. practically all during this episode.
Not embarrassed this one. By me? Yeah, Disney offers Last you. Jedi stickers are $1.99.
Mm-hmm. Frustration.
They're not even really very attractive.
I'm
honestly, you're going to get better ones from here, but the problem is that you have to cut and paste. And
mm-hmm. That's true. You do. Yeah. But I'm just going to keep these at the ready for whenever I you say something that I don't want to hear.
I'm so sorry I spent $1.99 for these.
The Star Wars app, I think, is free.
Yeah, get the Star Wars app.
Because I might have paid for it at some point. Does that say free? Yeah. And this is also, you can take a selfie, so... Let's see.
I like Princess Leia. That's nice. See, that's better than this stupid sticker I'm going to send you.
There we go. I'm probably going to tweet
that's
that
cute. That's amazing. Let's How did see. They do that? See, I sent
Let
you.
Let the past die. That is awesome. Thank
yeah,
you.
You're welcome.
Star Wars app. Oh, wait, there's AR, of course. No app is...
Send me that. I love... Wait a minute. What happened? You're falling out of it. Get it back in the hood.
Here, let me...
Yeah.
Let me
take
you.
Oh, you're a lousy Jedi Knight. Oh, get it. Take me? Okay.
Yeah. Do you want to be a Jedi Knight?
Yeah. Whatever. I'll be whatever that thing is. That's... Isn't that Obi-Wan and his...
There we go.
Use the Force, Luke.
So Star Wars app... There's tons of stuff in there.
That's like good. I'm going to get that. Oh, there's your thumb as a Jedi Knight. That's a good
one. Oh, there's
look.
The Force Trainer where I can, I think we've shown that before.
Close your eyes, Luke. Use the Force, Luke.
So this is not new, but it's especially, it's new and exciting every time that you.
What emotion did she say? They say Carrie was expressing there?
The one I sent there was frustration that, yeah, see, there's me. Whenever
what?
Whenever you're about to say something, here's your Leo screen.
What?
You can show Leo's screen.
No, what?
Me.
What? What? All right. I don't, I'm telling you now, right now, I don't like these. Don't buy the $1.99 ones. Look at these.
Because you can put stickers. There's like a sticker again. Yeah. Don't
just breathe. That, you know what? Didn't Luke look like the dude in this movie from the Big Lebowski? Just breathe, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Are you ready for mine? So I showed you the right-brained way that you could diary your trip and stuff like that. Let me show you the left-brained. Have we ever talked about the bear?
I think we have. I've definitely downloaded it and never fully put it to goodness.
Well, it takes some learning. So I'm going to help you understand how to use the bear. The bear is a note-taking app. It's available on Mac and iOS. It shares. If you pay for it, it will share without any saving. It uses the built-in iCloud syncing to save your data. So there's no you never save a document. And it lets you create notes. It's a very beautiful note-taking app. So you see, this is the same kind of diary entry that I had in the other one. I put the map in and so forth. Links are created by using a special link technique, but now it's going to open up the link. So it's a note-taking app. It supports Markdown. It supports To-Do List. You could actually use it for your bullet journal if you wanted. But the thing that takes a little understanding is how it uses tags. And I've done it right here. So I have a travel tag. If I go back to my note directory. And then you see travel /2018. And then left is math, right is art. So this is right-brained, not left-brained. Okay, thank you
I'm
for
so
the clarification.
I'm so right-brained, I can't even remember which
I know.
Is which.
You're right-brained, I'm left-brained. So this would be the right-brained app. And then the Devon Think is the left-brained version of this. But this is very, I think, very beautiful. It is free. When you pay for it, you get a Bear Pro, which I did pay for. You get a, you know, it's cheap. It's, I think it's $12 a year. You get more themes, so you can have dark. You can have solarized light, which I happen to like, but there's a whole bunch of duotone snow and a whole bunch of different nice themes that come with the pro version. Also, the syncing, I think, with the pro version you get. So the syncing's nice. There's no save button on this. So it's a really, I think it's a very nice notepad. You might say, well, what do I need a notepad for? I've got Apple Notes. The one thing this does that's great is the tagging. So if I'm in here and I'm editing this, Let's put a tag here. Let me. If I do hashtag Megan, now I've created, just by pushing the pound key, I've created something that can be used as tags. In fact, it'll show up now in my notes here. See, there's the Megan. I can use it in other places. If you put it in double square brackets, it becomes a link. So I can link to my itinerary. See, and these are all links to individual pages. So it's kind of, if you've used a wiki, it's kind of like that. By using the slashes, I've created subfolders. So travel is the top level folder, hashtag travel. Then hashtag travel /2017 made a folder here. And then this is a folder within the folder, BVI. So like that. So 2018, Japan. So this is very much the same kind of thing that I was doing with Devon Think, but it's a lightweight, much less expensive, and frankly, more beautiful version of that. Let's take the Megan tag out of there. You can embed PDFs, just as you can with Devon Think. So it's a powerful note-taking app. You get most of its features for free. Highly recommend you try the free version. Read the in the help. They have a very good help, and I'll actually read the help that comes with Bear. And then even maybe look at some of the other information. It's from Shiny Frog. I think this is a really nice note-taking app. I have to say, it's very beautiful. Supports Markdown if you like Markdown. It has a focus mode, which means you don't see any of the widgets. You just see the screen fully. It works on iOS, so it's iPhone native and iPad native. You pay once and you can run it everywhere. There is also, for $15 a year, a desktop version on Mac OS, and they all sync together. So the core version for iOS and Mac is free. Pay $1.49 monthly or $15 annually, and then you get some additional features, which I thought were worth it for that price. I like Bear. Bear-writer.com to find out more. It is for the Mac and for iOS. And, it offers Apple Watch interface. That's nice, too, which is something Devon does not do.
Do you take a lot of notes? Like when you have
never.
Of note-taking apps.
No, but the new thing I'm doing is trips. I want to kind of do a travel diary. My day-to-day life, I don't really need to take notes for so much. But occasionally, like for research projects, meetings, mm-hmm. I'll take notes. And I think Devon Think is going to be I've used it before, but I want to get back to using that more. Kind of like your bullet journal. You can put to-do lists in and stuff. And I think that because I have drafts, which I showed a couple of weeks ago, that I can just pop stuff into, it's kind of a nice workflow for me. I could just tap my watch and say, get Megan a fifth bobblehead. And then when I get back to drafts on my desktop or my iOS, I can then send it to Devon, or I could send it to Bear. Bear works with it as well, or reminders or texts and all of that. So I feel like I'm getting a workflow down now with iOS that I never really had before, thanks to drafts and the note-taking. She's looking at me.
I know. It's good to have Rose, like, just sitting there. Like, what would Rose do in this situation?
Hi, Kelly Marie Tran. Hi.
I think that's it.
That's about all she wrote, ladies and gentlemen.
Come visit us. Tickets at twit.tv.
But when we say that, we want to remind you, in the past, we've let people just wander in, but we really kind of started to get concerned that maybe that isn't the best policy. So if you want to come visit, don't just drop in. Email us. Even if you email us as you're driving to the studio, tickets at twit.tv. So we know you're coming. We can expect you. And we'd like to ask you to do that from now on. Just, I want to make sure everybody's safe. We also invite you to watch live on the stream, twit.tv/live. We do this show 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern time. That's 1700 UTC if you want to tune in and watch live every Tuesday. You can watch After the Fact on-demand versions available at twit.tv/iOS or wherever you subscribe to podcasts. There's video and audio. This is one of the shows where I think it's, if you can find the time and the space, a great one to watch because there's a lot of visual stuff on it. If you want to ask a question, or make a suggestion, yell at us, just email Megan. Megan at twit.tv.
I do. I check my email. I respond when I can. If you don't get a response from me, it probably means I'm going to do it on the show. And we always have more questions than we have time for.
Yes.
So love your questions. Love your comments. Love it when you yell at us.
Yes. Thanks for joining us. And we will see you next week on iOS Today. Bye-bye.